We came today to worship a great Savior. We came today to worship a great God who has given us a great Savior. We came today to worship a Holy Spirit that lives in our life and guides us and directs us. And I was so freed up the day I realized that church wasn't about me. I mean, yeah, we all bring our problems here and we have our issues and we know we need a touch. But church isn't about us. It's about Him. It's about worshiping Him. It's about learning from His Word. It's about encouraging one another and worshiping together for a greater good. And He's here today. So as you think about that, as you think about those things that are on your mind that you need a touch from God about, all you got to do is ask. That's all you have to do. He's here. And I'm so glad that church is not about me. Got one amen. All right. Those things can be one at a time, one at a time. Yeah. I don't know how many math geniuses we have here this morning. How many? Do we have somebody that's really good in math? I'm not going to ask you to do an equation, but okay. It's like we're all in the same boat. There was something that was told at that discipleship program that I wanted to just relay to you so you could think about it. They really warned us not to come back and preach about it because we would really goof things up and probably blow the church up. And so I'll just take that as good advice. Right, Ron? But there is and I've heard this before and I've seen other programs, so it's not about the program, but it's about the thought about discipling one another. Okay? We were talking about evangelism and preaching the good news in Sunday school class. And it's interesting because when you hear that, you hear people's thoughts and maybe how they've shared Christ with somebody. But I think that maybe we miss something really important, and that is that each one of us knows someone that we could help disciple. We think we're after a decision for them to make a decision. And if we disciple them, at some point they'll have a decision to make. So I want you to follow this, and you can do the math if you want, if you got that much free time on your hands. If you took one person, let's just take ourselves, and you were to gather just two people in your life that are not people of faith at this point, but you have some influence over them, and you were to get them together just to start looking at some pretty basic things about what God has told us how to live, you begin to share that with them and disciple them. At some point, they would make a decision, and pretty soon, you would have them at the point where they are strong in the Lord, they're Christians, and now you would help them to go find two others to disciple. And in that, you would help complete that cycle through the two that you are with and the two that they go out and make. And that would be your responsibility then with those two, and you'd start with another two. If we all did that, and get this is the important part. We think that, wow, we got to go out there and do that and have that done. But if you just met with them, let's say once a week, at work, at school, neighborhood, maybe it's your friends from school or something. If you did that and spent one whole year just discipling two people, the same two people, have any idea how many people would be disciples of Christ at the end of 5 years? Wow, you mean if I just got two people and worked with them for 1 year and made them disciples, and they went and did the same thing the next year, and that process carried on, that would turn from one person to 180,000 people in 5 years. Boy, that makes it pretty simple, doesn't it? I mean, my part makes it pretty simple. Two people for 1 year. And we sometimes think it's or at least what's been taught is kind of the Billy Graham method. You know, we're not all Billy Graham. We can't all speak to 10,000 people in one setting. But we can do that. We could take our faith and use it to disciple two other people this year. Well, I will get on with the message this more, the kindness message. I think, Terry, you probably have already preached a pretty good one on that, of how kindness touched your life. I want to share with you, too, in your bulletin, there was a card there that Robin put together. It's the One Anothering Scriptures, and that's yours to keep in your Bible so you can refer to those scriptures. There's several. There's more than the 22 that are in the book that I've got those out of. But I want you to, one thing I was kind of surprised, Ron and I both were surprised when we turned the page in that training manual and there were 20 One Anothering Scriptures that they wanted us to preach from. And that's like the first time in 25 years I've been ahead of anything. So that was good, wasn't it? In fact, Ron found it first. He kind of looked over and smiled, and I don't know if he thought I had a copy of the book or what, but I didn't. But still, isn't it odd how when we think that God has spoken to us about something, and then we'll get that just verified several times, you know, that's from God and we're doing okay. So these scriptures are for you. These scriptures are for you to learn, to think about. Think as we just, in our minds, begin to think of how these one anothering relationships work and how being authentic with one another, how just being honest and open and sharing our lives at whatever level that we can is important. It's so important because that's how we build strong churches. That's how we build strong relationships. I sometimes wonder why we make it so difficult. It's not really that hard at all. So this morning, in a world that's all out for itself, you don't have to look very far to figure out that people are all for themselves. We need to be kind and we need to share. I think that was a kindergarten lesson, wasn't it? We needed to share. Okay, some of you that took, some of you it didn't. Anyway, some of you get it, some of you don't. So some of you didn't go to kindergarten, apparently. But a little deductive reasoning there. Works for me sometimes. So we need to be different than the world. We need to be Christ with skin on. I think of the first time I realized how the Holy Spirit worked, and the person teaching that was talking about, you know, a glove. Talking about if you had a glove just laying here on the podium, it's just there, it's lifeless. Once you slide your hand into that glove, then it takes on the form of life. It can do things. And that's how the Holy Spirit is in our life. When we want to do things for God, we have to be open to be filled with the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit can use us and use us in life. So it's like, you know, we are there, we are a vessel, but until the Holy Spirit fills us, we can't be of much use for God. And the act of kindness comes from our ability to connect with the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to have control in our life. When we are sometimes the only Jesus that people see. You know that. I find out there beyond these walls to be pretty cruel. Pretty heartless. But sometimes we're the only Jesus that somebody sees. And that's so important to realize that person that God has put in your path, that person that you've spoken to, that person that you realize they have needs. You don't know what the needs are, but you just sense they have needs. God's not finished with us, so we have a lot of work to do. And, you know, Jesus has many people already in your life that you can practice these one anothering things on and get good at sharing your life with others. I like the idea of being consumed with the Holy Spirit, being consumed with compassion. And that's not my thought there on the board, but I saw that as I was looking for images, and I thought, you know, to be consumed by something, to be totally on fire about something, to allow God to get a hold of our hearts to the point that we're on fire about it, that we have a passion for it. So I want to talk a little bit about the kindness thought there. Ephesians 4:32, it says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another." And to be kind, to have kindness in this selfish age that we're in. I think part of that has to do with the media that we see every day. You know, we hear about, we read, we see where people are murdered and killed and tragic things happen, and we just kind of get hardened to that. We don't realize the pain and suffering sometimes that goes along with that just because it's in front of us all the time. Kindness is rare. We find that in this life, it's so rare that Jesus knew to write about it way back then. In the world, kindness is not there. It's not something that is seeable. It's not something that we run into unless, and when we do, it's obvious that, wow, that was an act of kindness. Mother Teresa said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. I was thinking of what Terry said, that little bit of kindness that was showed meant so much to her at the right time. And isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit knows at what time you need that little act of kindness? As well as the Holy Spirit knows when somebody else needs it, and that's why you're prompted to do things. You know, don't forget about our lovegrams that we started when this whole process started. Those are not something that were just for a day or two. That's ongoing. They're out there in the foyer. You can pick them up. You can use them to do little acts of kindness to make sure somebody knows you care. I think of the idea of in our lives to break. It went way too far. What's going on here? There we go. Let's go back. I can actually see it back there. That's great. I find things in my life that I need to break cycles of. One thing I can think of that's just in general, but since I wasn't raised in a Christian home, that cycle was broken in my generation, that I found Christ, and I broke that cycle of not having God in the home, of not serving God. So we break cycles all the time. Maybe you have in your life a past where there was something in the family, something that was maybe not even known outside the family, but you broke that cycle. Maybe you were the first one to go to college. Maybe you were the first Christian in your family. Maybe, maybe there's alcoholism and you were the first one, you know, in several generations not to be affected by that or not to allow that to affect your life. Whatever that may be, we break cycles. We can break cycles. It says in 4:31, get rid of, in Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. It helps us a little bit there to get that in our minds of what we're not to be part of. Breaking the cycle of these things, learning that an act of kindness, an act of compassion, it carries on and on and on. It speaks endlessly in that situation. We have that ability to speak with our mouth, with our actions, into other people's lives. We have that ability in relationship to honor in that relationship by the acts of kindness that we do. I believe that we do at times have the ability. There's a scripture there in Thessalonians 5:15, 1 Thessalonians. It says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. That paying back, I'll get even. Those are not things that, it may come to your mind, but the Holy Spirit's not going to allow you to dwell on that thought to go get even. We're human. We have human emotions and reactions, and you shouldn't feel bad about even being angry about something. It's what you do with your anger. It's what you allow that to turn into. So we never want to pay back wrong with wrong. Again, we need to break cycles. You break a cycle when you pay back kindness for wrong. You're breaking a cycle. You're breaking a cycle in that whole process. If I pay back wrong for wrong, that's going to just bring more wrong back to me. Someone's going to trump that. Somebody's going to make it worse coming back at you than then you, did that wrong to them. So we break that cycle. We have to be about, there was an item brought up in our training that I never had thought about. Jesus was telling the disciples to go, don't take anything with them, and go out into the countryside and tell them about what you've been told. He said, go to houses, and where you're accepted, fine, and where you're not, just, brush the dust off your feet and go on. But he told them to go find a person of peace in those areas. And I thought to myself, even in the non-Christian realm, there are people of peace. There are people who seek peace in their life. There are people who don't want to be involved in things that are destroying and destructive. But I thought about that, that we should get good at seeking out people of peace. We should be good about, hopefully we're people of peace, but not always can we always be at peace. We know that. But there are people who desire to live a peaceful life in this world, and we should desire to do that. The other thought there with kind and compassion is sharing with others. And sharing can be anything from, there's a scripture here in Matthew that I'll share. It could be a drink of water, some food, some clothing. It could be going to somebody that's sick, somebody that's in prison. But I think we need to think about, we've been given so much in our lives. There in Hebrews it says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We are giving to God when we give to others. We are, when God shows us a need and we involve ourselves in that need and help, it's like we're giving it to Him. There in Matthew it says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Jesus is saying, all those things that you do, you're doing those unto me. In this living generously, you did it for me. And Jesus is so much about meeting the needs of all of us. I hope you take that thought home today that church is not about me. I can think of those words of my friend Sifu that said, you got a problem, you go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I got a problem. I think of the prayers that went up this week in the prayer room and people calling out on God for different things. I can think of things that Ron has shared with me this week and things we've shared together in ministry this week where there were prayers that went up for different situations. And, it's a humbling thing when you know there's a need and you know you don't have any way of meeting that yourself. You know that it's way bigger than you. Maybe it's a need for someone's health or someone's job situation or whatever it is. But you know that you can go to God and say, God, we have a problem. And God hears and God moves. And it's such a powerful thing to know that in our lives that we have that to hang on to. We have that to go to. And I want you to take away with you that sharing kindness is something we all can do. And you know what? It's always the right thing to do. You don't even have to wonder if it's the right thing to do. Showing acts of kindness is always the right thing to do. As the worship team comes up to lead us in worship this morning, we're going to close with a song. I was cornered by a couple of people over the last few weeks about voting. I know we have a vote next week here in the church, and we're going to vote. But I wanted to mention something that I don't believe in politics from the pulpit. I do believe that we can speak out in things that are wrong and we can say, here's the best of this situation. But I do think that as far as that goes in our lives, and I wanted to close on this, And I want to try to wrap kindness into that a little bit. It isn't up to the church to tell you how to vote. That's your own right. But what I would ask is that you do vote. And when you vote, I would pray that you would vote your conscience, your integrity, your faith. And God help us that we don't vote our pocketbook. I think it's kind of neat. I've already voted, so I had to vote on an absentee ballot because we couldn't get back there on that Tuesday. And I'm not moved everything over to here yet, and I didn't want to mess that up and not have the right to vote. But you know, even in that, there's kindness. I understand how the world thinks and how they view things. But you know what? We're not our own. We were bought with a price. There was a Savior who died on the cross for us. He purchased us. He purchased our salvation, and we are not our own. We don't really have the right in our life to make decisions in life any way that would affect Jesus in a negative way. He paid the price for us. We're free people, but we owe everything to Him. And I'm not just about talking about voting right now, but the kindness, the compassion. We were bought with a price. And that price was everything God had. He paid for you and I. Therefore, we owe our whole lives to God and to Jesus. And to live a life that is honoring and respectful. And you know, you can't have God on the inside without having compassion and love and desire. And these one anothering scriptures, this is the last one for a while. I told the morning group, wow, Christmas is just over there a little ways. And I'll be preaching Advent. And I'll be talking about Thanksgiving. And we have Veterans Day coming up. And Ron is preaching on spiritual warfare just next week. And we're going to be to the holidays before we even realize it. And I'm excited about that. I like preaching through Advent. I like preaching into our Savior's birth and looking up and really respecting that and honoring that and putting the meaning back in Christmas. But I just want you to know, though, I don't want you to give up on this authentic relationship, making those relationships authentic in your life. And I may touch on a few after the first of the year, but we're done with that right now because the holidays are going to be on us. And I really want to think about Thanksgiving and Christmas and have that on our hearts and our minds as we enter into that, our Savior's birth. So God bless you this week. Why don't you stand as we sing this song? Thanks.
As I listened to that song, it said, make me a blessing today. And as I reflected on the scripture today, especially in Ephesians 4 in that 31st verse where God tells us that we have to get rid of all the bitterness, the anger, and the rage in our lives, because if we have that within us, it is very difficult to be a blessing for someone. As I shared with the service this morning during that first service, God really spoke to me on a personal level with the holidays coming up about the bitterness and the anger and the rage. We're going to be gathered with family and friends, and there may be somebody that may be there that you still have some bitterness or some resentment towards that you have to get rid of. I know there's some in my life. That's why He spoke to me about that. So I want you to just be aware of that, that it's going to be difficult to be a blessing to anybody if you are filled with bitterness or anger or rage. You have to release that. God wants you to release that. He tells you that in the scripture. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this message. I thank you for the words that spoke to me. And Lord, I know this message spoke to each person here individually. So you speak to them differently in that way that only that you can. That Lord, this message of kindness and compassion, as I was sitting there listening and I was praying before coming up here, and I thought of Jesus when he was on the cross, and he went before our Father when they were down there mocking him and ridiculing him, and he looked and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." He was showing kindness and compassion to them, and he is there hanging on that cross. He took that kindness and compassion of that cross for us. He blessed us with salvation. So Lord, I pray that as we go forth this day and out into the world and in our busy lives this week, that we will be a blessing to others. That Lord, we will remember to share Jesus with someone. Lord, as I heard about those statistics, just with those few men that gathered underneath that tree, how it spread to 500,000 by showing the love and compassion and kindness that Jesus Christ has. So Lord, again, I do thank you for what you are doing here within this congregation, within Trinity. I thank you for the blessings that you've given myself and everyone here. So Lord, I just pray for continued blessings upon this congregation, upon each person here. Lord, we do thank you for all your provisions and all that you provide us for. So Lord, we thank you and we love you. And we pray all of this in the powerful name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.